Good evening.
Good evening.
I suppose there's not a person here, well, there might be a few small ones, that didn't even think of coming here before they came. So what I'd like to speak about a little tonight is thoughts. So the interesting thing is thoughts. Our thoughts are very important. And we know from the gospel that as creatures born in sin, wow, that's not good, is it? And lost. What'd you have to do to be lost? All you had to do is be born. Because the whole race has fallen. Isn't that something? So if it's a fallen race, where do good thoughts come from? They come from God, don't they? I'd like to turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55 and, oh, I guess we'll start at verse. So many good verses in this chapter. So Isaiah is sometimes called the gospel of the Old Testament. But I've been asked to be brief. So I'll start with verse 3. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. For I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. We can see in verse 3 David is mentioned, but we can see pretty plainly in reading these next two verses, it's really speaking about the Lord Jesus Christ. They're the Holy One of Israel. He hath glorified thee. You know, we have conflicts with science sometimes, and science thinks, well, if it happened before, if you can repeat it again, then it's true. But we live in a world that God created, and he can introduce something new to it anytime he wants to. And I think, let's look just briefly at a verse that's been a blessing to me recently again. Well, it's always a blessing to look at it. In Titus 1, Titus chapter 1, and I'm going to stick to verse 2. Paul is given this knowledge, but let's look this verse over. Well, I'll read verse 1. Paul, a servant of God, and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and an acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. How far back does verse 2 reach? Verse 2 is a promise in the Godhead before the world began. That's God thinking about you and I before there was time, an eternity past, a promise in an eternity past. Isn't that amazing? God knew from the ages of past, when there weren't even any ages, no time, eternal existence. He knew what would become. He knew that there would be a world. He knew that Satan would oppose. He knew that man would fall. And he says, I God is one. Hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. When we look around to the world, a lot of times we see things happening, and you begin to say, who said what? Did that person tell a lie? We see it in politics. We see it in the world in dealings. But wonderful that your soul that has been loved from a past eternity, God gave a promise that he would introduce to that world, and it's bound up in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that marvelous? God so loved us that he made this promise in the Godhead. And Jesus, the Son of God, is at that moment bound to that promise in love. Because God has thoughts above our thoughts. Let's return to Isaiah 50. five. It says in the end of verse 5, the Holy One of Israel, he hath glorified thee. This man, who is God, who is part of the Godhead, was introduced into your world and mine, where sin had come, to bring us what? Eternal life. There's a thought beyond this world. It's marvelous. Today, Brother John and I were visiting a dear old widow, and she's talking about the death of her husband. John, what did she say, the last words of her husband?
Lord Jesus Christ.
Isn't that marvelous? He was a man of God. His last words as he departed, Lord Jesus Christ. What a future you and I have when we have our trust in God's thoughts and God's ways. Verse 6 says, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Is there one soul here tonight that doesn't know the Lord Jesus as their very own? One boy or girl or even an older one that doesn't have peace, that doesn't know that their sins are forgiven. Those times of disobedience to parents, those times of wrong thoughts, mean thoughts sometimes towards our brothers or sisters. Well, there can be forgiveness if we seek the Lord while he may be found. We sang some hymns of the future. But there's this present time when this wonderful message has come into your world and mine that we might have a hope way beyond this world that's forever. But the problem is man has fallen. Verse 7, let the wicked forsake his way. You can have ways that don't glorify God. And the unrighteous man, his thoughts, there's thoughts, they're very contrary to God's thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Isn't that a marvelous thing? God has a righteous basis to pardon us because of the death of his own beloved Son that was promised that eternal life before the world began. Marvelous. Verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. Let's turn to Mark chapter 7. Hold your place there, though. Mark chapter 7. Verse 20 says, the Lord Jesus said, that which cometh out of the heart of man, that defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. There's much more said here, but I'm speaking on thoughts. the things that I'm not reading so far, what happens? They start with thoughts that can lead astray and lead to these sins mentioned afterwards. Notice in verse 22 especially, there's a word, pride. Is that something that can come out of our hearts? That's what the Lord's telling us. Back to Isaiah. Isaiah 55. The Lord's thoughts and the Lord's ways. Verse 9, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. We started out with that verse in Titus, showing the thoughts of God before there was ever time. It's a marvelous thing. God's thoughts are so much higher. Verse 10. For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. Mothers and fathers, as you raise those little ones, those dear young people that are here, the reason you're bringing forth the Word of God is to plant something in the soul that comes from God that can bear fruit for His glory. Just like these seeds that's mentioned here. The rain comes down, verse 10, and snow. We get different types, those two different types of precipitation that water the earth. And it has a growth aspect, brings forth buds for purpose of seeds for the sower and bread to the eater. And that's used as an illustration of His word. You know, if we went to John, we read of the two on the road to Emmaus. We see the Lord hides Himself from them. And He listens to what their heart has to say about the sadness of the very recent day of His crucifixion. He knew it all. What things trouble you? He knows what troubles you, and He wants to hear it from you, because He has thoughts. But He bases it on His holy word, the word of God. So shall my word be, verse 11, that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So as the Lord talks with those two on the road to Emmaus, He begins at Moses and the prophets, and He goes over that whole span of truth. What's He doing? He's saying, I don't want you attached to my physical presence. I want you grounded on the written word of God. We have a Bible study out in Marengo, Iowa. On Thursday nights, people from the community come. Sometimes there's down to 12 or so, and one time it was 27 or 28. And sometimes I'm really amazed at the ignorance of people from various churches, remarks that are made. But our whole purpose is to get people back, that their faith has to be based on the Word of God, not on the traditions of men, not on what some church says, but it's got to be what God has said. And here we see, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. What happens from that? Verse 12. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. There's an effect in the heart when we've submitted to the blessing that the Word of God brings to us. And that is joy and peace. One of our old writers said, "As much as I love my brethren, my joy comes from the Lord, not them." You know, there's a man living for you and I that know him in heaven right now. And he's bound his whole person into giving us peace that was promised by a God who cannot lie in an eternity past. It's marvelous. Joy and peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. That sounds kind of poetic, maybe. But I've heard it. Have you heard it? From some precious soul that suddenly gets the light. I see it now. Jesus forgave my sins. He bore my sins. He's my substitute. You see him a little water later, maybe I dare to. Even creation looks more lively to me. You hear that from souls sometimes. They see the world in a new light because they know the God who made it. So it says, instead of the thorn, that would be the curse, wouldn't it? Shall come up the fir tree, instead of the briar shall come up the myrtle tree, and it shall be to the Lord for a name, and for an everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The Lord wants you and I to have that kind of joy that can't be cut off. And he knows all about it. Well, may God bless his word. Let's pray. Blessed Father and our God, we thank thee that thy thoughts are way beyond anything any fallen creature would ever think of. And we thank thee that salvation has been taken into thy hands in such a way that nothing vital is committed to men. Thou hast accomplished it. And thou dost offer by thy word whosoever will may come. We ask your blessing on your word tonight and on the meetings to follow and on our fellowship together. And we thank thee for the refreshment about to be partaken of, because thou art good, our God. We thank thee. Thank thee for each one that has arrived safely and perhaps some still traveling. We commend them to thee and ask all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.